Hello. On today's show, I'll be taking you on a road trip. We'll be visiting St. Ives Jazz Club in the company of writer Sebastian Scotney, who'll be profiling the club, which won the UK's Best Jazz Venue at this year's Parliamentary Jazz Awards. We'll also be hearing from Keith Bruce, who is part of the team behind this year's Glasgow International Jazz Festival, for a preview of what's in store this year. And en route, we'll be stopping off in Gateshead for tonight's concert set, featuring previously unbroadcast tracks from British saxophonist Andy Shepherd. Andy has collaborated with a broad range of musicians, including working with celebrated arranger Gil Evans, who famously collaborated with trumpeter Miles Davis for his larger scale projects, which the classic Porgy and Bess from 1959 is a part of. Here's a taster of tonight's duo set featuring Shepherd with Italian pianist Rita Marcatulli. Andy Shepherd and Rita Marcatulli. More from that concert set later, and we'll also hear from Andy himself when we get inside the mind to hear about his musical processes and what makes him tick, from jamming with multi-instrumentalist and Nigerian musical icon Fela Kuti to working with Manfred Eicher, the visionary behind the ECM record label. Well, let's get the journey started with guitar legend Grant Green behind the wheel from his recent collection, Racing Green, guitar solos 59 to 62. And we're off to Mambo Inn. Thank you. Mambo Inn from guitar giant Grant Green in 62 with Johnny Acheya on piano, Wendell Marshall on the bass, Willie Bobo on drums, Carlos Potato Valdez on congas, and Carvin Masseau on shekere. Green's ability to get to the point of a song or solo won him the admiration of his contemporary Wes Montgomery and influenced the next generation of guitar players, including George Benson, Carlos Santana, and Pat Metheny. That's a list indeed, isn't it? Racing Green is out on L Records via the Cherry Red Records label. Choice tracks, charting his time with a myriad of greats, including saxophonist Stanley Turrentine, Hank Mobley, Ike Quebec, Lou Donaldson, and the list goes on. Grant Green also holds the distinction as being the most recorded artist for the Blue Note label from 61 to 65. So now we journey to London, and a new album from pianist and one-third of UK-based trio Phrenesis, Ivo Neem. It's his second album and features saxophonist Torry Freestone, Vibes man Jim Hart, bassist Tom Farmer, and Phrenesis pal Jasper Hoiby, also on bass, with Dave Hamlett completing the lineup on drums. The compositions are strong and varied and executed with a familiar flair that speaks to the listener. This is the title track, Strata. Thank you. Strata from brilliant British pianist Ivo Neen, which is the title track of the new album, which to my ears is a strong follow-up to his debut Yatra, which was also released on the Whirlwind Recordings label. Well, now we make our way to the edge of Cornwall, to St. Ives, sometimes referred to as the British Riviera. The St. Ives Jazz Club won the Parliamentary Jazz Award for Jazz Venue of the Year in March, so we sent journalist Sebastian Scotney off to find out more about this not-so-closely guarded secret. His story, which includes quite a few musicians from the West Country and a few surprises, starts on a station platform.
Platform 3 for the 1448 First Great Western service to St. Ives. Call it the Land Saltings, Carbis Bay and St. Ives.
That deadpan pre-recorded voice. It really doesn't prepare you at all for what St. Ives has to offer. The approach by train is spectacular. That bit of the journey lasts just 13 minutes. Past beaches and coves, and when you get into the town and its narrow streets, you start to feel a place that has its own identity and its particular magnetic appeal. The music you're hearing, by the way, is by pianist Mike Collins from Bath. And he's just one of the musicians from the west of England who'll be appearing at the St. Ives Jazz Club this summer. I asked musician Alex Garnett, who'll be there in September, about why he likes going there.
I guess St. Ives, in some weird way, is like the Saint-Tropez of the south of England. You know, it's a nicely contained little town with a, you know, beautiful crescent beach. Not that I guess it's ever warm enough to go for a swim unless you've had a few pints, you know. But it's a beautiful little town. It's well preserved, you know.
Alex Garnett is part of the Ronnie Scott's All-Stars, who will be down for the St. Ives Festival in September. We'll come back to him later. My reason for going to St. Ives was to find out about the St. Ives Jazz Club, which won a Parliamentary Jazz Award on its third time nomination this year, back in March. It's a regular gig throughout the year, every week on Tuesdays, and it's been going ever since the summer of 1998. For most of that time, the club have been calling themselves the Last Jazz Club Before New York. Who started the club? Ralph Freeman. He was also the person who originally thought up that clever strap line, in the full knowledge that it might easily be challenged one day from Lisbon, or from the west of Ireland, or who knows, from Land's End. So far there hasn't been a challenge to it. Ralph Freeman is an artist, and he's also a jazz pianist. He explained to me the particular affinity of St. Ives with artists, and he has an off-the-wall theory about the kind of people who end up there.
There are a lot of artists and writers and musicians living in that area, which has been the case for 100 years or so. It's very interesting. As someone once said, that the reason for that is that it's something to do with the spinning of the earth on its axis causes unstable people to be thrown to the extremities of land masses.
I was curious how he had landed up there himself.
You have an affinity for this landscape, and you've brought up your children in Cornwall, and you love the place.
Yes, always visited it, and eventually we moved there, and I was able to get awarded an Arts Council studio on Porthmere Beach, one of the Porthmere studios. So that was the reason to go down there to work, and at that time to vaguely follow in the footsteps of the abstract expressionists of the 50s. Of course, this was the 80s, so that was the end of that era. But it was a place you could have a dialogue with artists. The environment was right for working, and of course the landscape suited my work at that time. That's what brought us, took us down to St Ives, was my work and not the music.
Ralph Freeman started it all off by approaching a hotel owner who'd been running the occasional trad night. At the heart of it all now, since Ralph Freeman has moved back to London but is still involved, is Brian Stanley. Brian Stanley does that key role. He runs the door, he greets the punters, and does an awful lot more besides. One theme which keeps on cropping up in conversations about St Ives Jazz Club is how well Brian in particular, and the others, all look after the musicians. Jean Toussaint told me that arriving there is like getting to an oasis, and here's Alex Garnett again.
One of the dangerous things about being on that gig is that it's a gig that's contained within itself, so you've got the venue, the accommodation and the food and the bar all in one location virtually, so you don't have to roll very far. So yeah, you can have a very, very good time and not have to worry about getting home, you know. They really do look after you, I have to say. I mean, all the staff are into it, you know. The rooms are one of those old sort of classic type, it's got sort of a level, you know, above another level. It's like it's an old cavern type sort of gig. I love it. It's in a basement. It's got a great atmosphere. The piano is beautiful. Sound system's good. The beer is excellent. And yeah, the breakfasts are ridiculous. You know, I think one of their fry-ups, you know, lasts you the whole day. You know, I think I had their fry-up every day and didn't manage a bag of chips in the evening. It was that sort of quality, you know.
The club is a fixture on the national touring circuit, and the committee of four who run the programming at St Ives make sure that they coordinate with other clubs to help bands doing tours get more than one booking in the South West, and that's what makes the whole thing viable. That sense of being rooted in a local scene, of supporting it, of making sure that good musicians who deserve to be heard get to play is very strong. Just a few miles over the county border in Devon is a fine pianist, Craig Milverton. He's the kind of musician who gets booked regularly, and here he is playing Erinel by Thelonious Monk. Also from Devon is a bassist, Marcus Vergette, who told me about some of the opportunities he's had through the club.
I mean, there's been some fantastic gigs where I've played with, you know, lots of people who, from London, Henry Lowther and all sorts of people. And then Jonathan G, who I've now been able to play in his trio, and he's invited me up to London. So that's been, for me, really a memorable sort of experience. Plus the opportunities that to write my own music and bring my own bands here. That's another great thing that this club has done, is the way it mixes kind of local musicians in with players from around the country.
Of course, it's not just about the musicians. There is an audience that appreciates what the club has to offer. I spoke to one very happy Cornishman and a regular visitor to the club called Glyn.
St Ives Jazz Club seems to be like an island in an ocean of folk clubs, male choirs and traditional jazz. So if you want contemporary music, then St Ives Jazz Club, I guess, will be the only place to come in West Cornwall.
People tell me that the best times to be in St Ives are what they call the shoulder season. It's the summer, but either before or after the main school holidays. The St Ives Festival takes place in 2 weeks in September, and that is the cue for the jazz club to break with their habit. They put on jazz not on one, but on two nights. Alex Garnett's looking forward to being down there in September for the festival with the Ronnie Scott's All-Stars. It's their third visit. They've previously taken two shows down. one about the historic albums from 1959 and another about the history of Ronnie Scott's. I asked Alex what they'll be doing this year.
I think the first night we're playing with Ian Shaw, actually, as a special guest. And Ian's an incredible performer, very vivacious, and also Ronnie Scott's regular too, so I'm sure it's going to be a good night. The next night, I think we're going to have to delve deeper into some of the more interesting, gossipy, scurrilous type stories, you know, the anecdotes from the swinging days in Soho and how the club was sort of put together, and some of the more colourful characters that were involved with that. We've got a skeleton. We're on the road currently in theatres doing a sort of full-on Ronnie Scott story show, so we'll probably have to do a abbreviated version of that if we can try and fit that into a couple of sets.
The club is encouraging younger musicians to get gigs, putting jam sessions into nights in January. They're also getting involved with local schools. I asked one of the committee members, Joanna Mays, who is keen to make children aware of jazz, how that's been going.
Rather unusually, our first takers were the local infant school. So we have full jazz bands turning up at the local infant school and playing for the little ones. And it's been delightful. They are they don't know what jazz is. They just know that it's music and they can jig about to it. So you have all these little guys and girls, little cross legs sitting watching a quartet, and they're jigging about to it.
One particularly successful and completely packed recent gig was an appearance by Andy Shepherd. His most recent album is called Surrounded by Sea, which Cornwall in general, and St Ives in particular, most certainly are. Thank you.
Andy Shepherd's Medication from his latest album, Surrounded by Sea, out in the ECM label. And thanks to Sebastian Scotney for bringing the summer breeze from the West. And congratulations and best wishes to all involved at the St. Ives Jazz Club. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Julian Joseph, on FM, online and on digital radio. And I'm pleased to announce Jazz Lineup will be hosting a stage at this year's Glasgow Jazz Festival on Saturday, June the 27th, from 2 p.m. till early evening. We'll be featuring five acts ranging from established and emerging artists, including the Hammond Grooves of the James Taylor Quartet. Whirlwind recording artist Rachel Cohen will be playing her saxophone with her quartet. Swiss Trio Vane perform also, and a BBC introducing group Trio HSK, plus a very special set from MOBO award-winning pianist Zoe Rahman, which will include an exclusive collaboration with Scottish saxophonist Laura MacDonald. For more information, check out the link on the Jazz Lineup page via the Radio 3 website. And stay tuned for more jazz travels coming up later on the show when I'll be previewing this year's Glasgow International Jazz Festival. And shortly we'll be hearing highlights of tonight's concert set featuring Bristol Ray saxophonist Andy Shepherd, who's been a major force in jazz from the 1980s when he emerged amongst an exciting crop of international players from the UK. Jazz Lineup recorded his concert in Gateshead with Italian pianist Rita Marcatulli. But before we hear the concert music, let's get inside the mind of this highly creative and supremely collaborative musician.
Hi, I'm Andy Shepherd, and I play tenor and soprano saxophones and also guitar. My earliest musical memory... Well, when I was a kid, I sang in a choir, in a church choir, and all my music comes from there. So I guess it's actually singing in the choir. And essentially, that's all I do to this day, is I sing. I just replace my voice now with a bamboo reed and the saxophone. So my first instrument, I guess, was my voice. And, you know, I would be the guy who would start the whole service off by singing a solo from the back of the church, you know, at Christmas time, that kind of thing. And nobody ever gave me a note, you know, nobody ever, so that I came in the right key, because I didn't know anything about keys. To me, it was just, you know, I knew the note. It was like a friend. So I'd just start singing, and it was always, if I knew that at the time there were 12 notes in the chromatic scale, of course I would have screwed up, but innocence was bliss. So anyway, that was my first instrument, my voice. And then, of course, as I got older, I kind of lost interest in, you know, and it also my voice changed, and I could no longer sing. I had such a great voice as a soprano, but it kind of disappeared. And I started messing around with guitars, but the saxophone I got to very late. And that was a fault of the educational system, you know, which kind of did me wrong, because when I was in school, I had to choose, as a lot of people do, I'm sure, between my two great interests, which were painting, art, and music, because they ran concurrently in the syllabus. And my only interest in life were listening to music and painting pictures. And I couldn't do the two subjects simultaneously, you know, because they ran simultaneously. So I was forced to choose between music and art, and I chose art because it was a nice day, sunny, and I was more inspired with the visual thing. And, you know, so I ended up missing out on any kind of formal education in music. I was banned from messing around on the piano because, you know, they didn't want someone improvising. And I ended up being very highly qualified in art. And on my way to art college, when I bumped into a jazz musician who put me straight and said, "What are you doing? You're a musician, you're a natural musician, you're not a natural painter. Listen to this music." And he made me discover the world of jazz. Within 30 minutes, I completely changed my course, changed my path in life, knew that I wanted to play the saxophone. You know, more than anything else in the world, I was going to take this on, and sold everything I owned, bought a saxophone, you know, and I was practicing 8-10 hours a day, driving everyone nuts. I love to collaborate with other musicians, with other sound worlds, with other cultures. I figured out very early on that A, you have to play great, so you have to work on your music constantly. It's an ongoing, you never get to the bottom of this thing. I figured out the equation, which was that playing by yourself is great, but when you play with somebody else, there's a chemistry that happens, there's a communication, it all makes sense. What are you doing? You're making this music in time, moving through time together. And then the third part of the equation is an audience, because without the audience, the music is just going into the walls. You know, it's kind of, and the audience is so important to make the music happen. It gives a sense of occasion, brings out the best in the performer. You know, this is the kind of chemical equation of making music. And then to take it one step further, if you're fortunate to have your music let you travel, which happened to me, and I was going off to South America and Africa, all over the world, playing music to strange cultures, to Mongolia, to Japan. It's a wonderful thing to say, I'm a musician and I'm open and I'll play with anyone. You know, I'm a jazz musician, but take the word jazz has such a, I'm proud of that word, you know, but the associations that go with that word sometimes can confuse people, because we're just talking about music and it's just such a broad church. So it was wonderful to me to find myself in a club in the middle of, you know, Nigeria and played with Fela Kuti. I mean, it's the sort of place where you're not meant to go to at all. You know, it's kind of dangerous. But it was such an incredible experience to do that, to be in the center of things and to be invited onto the stage and to, you know, have to make something happen.
Let us bind our wounds and live together in peace. Nigeria, one nation, indivisible. Long live Nigeria.
As a saxophone player, you're very lucky because you do get invited into bands because you have a voice. And then I get to work with, I'm part of, I guess, the what I like to think of as the European jazz family. Although, of course, my connections with America are strong, with working with Carla Bley, Steve Swallow, George Russell, Gil Evans, I toured with early on in my career. But the European jazz family, there are a whole bunch of musicians out there that are so unique, so wonderful, and draw on their own cultures, and they're, you know, really open to working on creating new sound worlds. I heard Rita Marcatulli for the first time live in a festival in France. She's such a wonderful musician to work with. It's music really comes into the room when Rita's in it, you know, and she's just a natural musician. She brings out the best in me. I'm so fortunate now to be recording with Manfred Eicher and ECM, because it's a record label that I've held in such high esteem for, you know, since I started to play, because I was aware of this record label and the direction of the label, and it's just perfect for me. And you know, it was so wonderful when Manfred approached me at a festival in Austria quite a few years ago now and said, you know, you're ready now to come and work with me. I want to record you, and I don't want to record just one record, but I want to give you a platform. And I thought, well, that's my life's going to change. Everything is wow, you know. But of course, it took about 4 years before I got in the studio to make my first album as a leader on ECM. It's a long process. You know, the thing is that the music I'm making now, especially my last two albums, because we've found the right kind of, I've found such a wonderful band and musicians, and with Manfred, the right studio and approach to recording the music. And when I work with Manfred, I listen back to what we're doing, and I think that's exactly what I have in my head. This is just, you know, normally you record and it falls short, or you're not happy with your sound, or, you know, you're a little embarrassed or something. But suddenly, from the moment we start to record, it's the music comes, and it does help to have Manfred in the room, because when Manfred's there, it concentrates the mind, that's for sure. And he's an artist. He's an old school record producer. He has really positive input into a recording session. He's a wonderful musician himself. You know, he's on it. Like if you're out of tune, he'll tell you straight away, you know, that's not correct or whatever. And then his concept of capturing music, this is so perfect. I remember when I first started to speak, having a dialogue with him, I said, how long will I have to record a record? And Manfred straight away came back and said, you know, 2 days. If you can't do it in 2 days, why bother? And in the studio, he does things sometimes which are a little, you know, can kind of throw you out or make a performance happen, you know. When Manfred says, trust me, you're not going to say, I don't trust you. I feel totally inspired by art in general. You know, I think it's culture. This is the most important thing that we as human beings have, because everything stems from this communication and aspiration and love, and, you know, creativity is so wonderful. And the music puts you in the moment when you're playing music, when you're listening to music. The music has time, and there is time, universal time. And, you know, it's like a state of meditation where you're trying to get to the point where you're totally concentrated without thinking. You know, you stop all that kind of background thought process and just get right to it. And, of course, the same thing exists in all other art forms. I love to go and see, you know, I love to go and look at paintings. Most especially Gauguin. Gauguin really does it for me. I don't know why that is. But when you're standing in front of a Gauguin, it's like you're standing in front of this long tunnel into this person's heart. I mean, it's so inspiring. And it's, I don't take a direct inspiration, although I did make a record a few years ago called Movements in Color. And if you notice, all the titles of the tunes are from paintings. That was a kind of direct kind of, you know, quote about my interest in art. But I think, yeah, I think musicians, we're all interested in, I mean, everybody, I'm confused at the state of the world, as I'm sure everyone is. It's not looking good out there. And, you know, the thing that will bring us through is, I think, my humble opinion, the thing that will bring us through is art, is culture, music.
The mind and music of tonight's featured concert set artist Andy Shepherd. Well, let's get straight to tonight's featured music. It's a collaborative performance with Italian pianist Rita Marcatulli, who emerged in the 1970s and soon started accompanying many of the great names in jazz, including trumpeters Chet Baker and Kenny Wheeler, drummer Peter Erskine, and saxophonist Joe Henderson and Dewey Redman. She's a celebrated composer, notably winning several awards in 2010 for her soundtrack to the film Basilicata Coast to Coast. On Sunday the 12th of April, as part of the Gateshead International Jazz Festival, Marcatulli and Shepherd came together for a concert that also featured charismatic big band Loose Tubes. Their approach was thoughtful and sensitive, using the subtle nuances of the duo to their advantage, creating an atmosphere of lilting lyrical music full of space and playful communication.
Thank you. Thank you.
Waves and Wind from saxophonist Andy Shepherd and pianist Rita Marcatulli, recorded at the Sage Gateshead as part of the Gateshead International Jazz Festival. And for more information on all the tracks played on tonight's show, check out the Jazz Lineup page via the Radio 3 website. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Julian Joseph, on FM, online and on digital radio. Well, from Gateshead, it's time to venture further north as part of today's jazz road trip to the city of Glasgow. Shortly, I'll be joined by Keith Bruce to tell us more about Glasgow's International Jazz Festival. This year's festival runs from the 24th of June to the 28th at venues across the city, featuring artists including vocalist Leanne Carroll, pianist Zoe Rahman, saxophonist Laura MacDonald, UK quartet Partisans, Scottish National Jazz Orchestra, the Star-Studded Trio Network, and topping the bill, soul goddess Gladys Knight, who performs at the Glasgow Royal Concert Hall. Well, before we hear from Keith, let's hear some music from one of the visiting artists at this year's festival. It's guitar superstar Stanley Jordan, the man who, along with Bobby McFerrin and a host of others, reignited the presence and relevance of the legendary Blue Note jazz label in the 1980s. He'll be performing with the Network Trio, led by bassist Charnette Moffat, with drum hero Jeff Tane Watts, and that's on the 28th of June at the Old Fruit Market. A super trio, if ever there was one. Well, let's turn back time for the moment and hear Stanley playing in his revolutionary contrapuntal solo approach from his Blue Note release Magic Touch, playing the Jimi Hendrix composition Angel. Stanley Jordan and Angel from his Blue Note debut Magic Touch in 1985. He's playing the Glasgow International Jazz Festival on the final day, which is Sunday the 28th of June. And I'm very pleased to welcome Keith Bruce from the Glasgow International Jazz Festival. Keith, you're one of the founding board members of the festival. What was the aim behind it when you were putting the board members together?
Well, it comes from the days when, in the lead up to Glasgow's year as European City of Culture in 1990. And I think the Jazz Festival is the only event from those years in the mid-80s that actually survives in the city. Everything else has changed and developed, but the Jazz Festival has, thanks to some great continuity of staff, kept going over the years, changed enormously. But one of the things it did do, of course, was discover the old Fruit Market venue, which was being used as a car park and was transformed by the Jazz Festival into the venue that everybody knows and loves today.
Well, you've got some great artists coming this year, and Stanley Jordan, we just heard him, he's playing with the Network Trio. Tell us about that trio and some of the big names that you've got coming.
The Jazz Festival is a broad church nowadays. I mean, I think all jazz festivals, the days when jazz was pop music, the days of Newport and Monterey are some time in the past. I think all jazz festivals embrace a broad range of funk, soul, R&B.
Black music.
Indeed, all sorts of black music. And the Network Trio are probably the most pure jazz international groups that we have in this year's programme. And of course, as you say, I mean, a real superstar trio. And that'll be one that will undoubtedly pack out the old Fruit Market. Mm-hmm. But at the other end of the scale, we have Gladys Knight, as you said. And I think that embracing any music that has a jazz influence is what we're about. As well as Gladys Knight, the one I'm looking forward to is the appearance by the Family Stone. There are three members of the original group, including the trumpet player Cynthia Robinson and the sax player Jerry Martini, in that Family Stone lineup, and Sly's daughter, Fun Stone, as one of the vocalists. I think that'll be a great night, and that's at the ABC.
Well, we all know that the Scots love their funk and soul, and there's a real tradition of it. And I think what really comes across is the real Scottish presence of jazz musicians in the festival.
It's always been a very important part of the festival to showcase the musicians on our own scene. And of course, we now have a great big band in the Scottish National Jazz Orchestra who are playing with singer Eddie Reader. But there are also lots of smaller groups, like you mentioned, Laura McDonald's group, and lots of bands that, well, in the funk field, like Federation of the Disco Pimp, playing in our Rio Late Night Club. So there's lots of opportunities for local musicians to play, as well as in that club, diagonally across the road from there, we have a new space, which we're calling Candle Rig Square, which will be an open during the day event, which will also feature a lot of local bands, deck chairs, nice food, that sort of party atmosphere thing that we're hoping to create in that quarter of the city.
Another one of the British artists that you've got playing at the festival is the pianist Zoe Rahman, a wonderful musician and a great artist to have on the bill.
Yes, as the redevelopment of the City Hall's complex, as well as creating the home for the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra and fitting out the old Fruit Market, found a new space called the Recital Room, mm-hmm. Which was previously part of a bar. And it's been a great room for solo piano recitals. We have John Taylor playing there on the 25th. And as you say, Zoe Rahman giving a solo recital in there as well. Something I'm looking forward to hugely.
And she's also going to be doing a collaborative set with Laura McDonald, the saxophonist.
Yes, that's right. Absolutely.
And they're going to be playing on the jazz lineup stage, which takes place in the basement at the Pop-Up Rio Jazz Club. Details on that on our webpage via the Radio 3 website. So check that out and you'll see everything that you need to know about that special jazz lineup stage. Now let's see if we can imagine Zoe there playing with Laura. And well, here's Zoe now in duo mode from her recent collaboration with Courtney Pine, playing the bass clarinet. In March, Song, the Ballad Book was released featuring 10 duets, ranging from Ellington's Come Sunday, Thad Jones's A Child Is Born, and Donny Hathaway's Someday We'll All Be Free. And for me, this is one of Pine's most musically successful albums, and his empathy with Rahman is a magical partnership. So let's listen to their version of Donny Hathaway's Someday We'll All Be Free. This is Jazz Lineup with me, Julian Joseph, and I'm joined by Keith Bruce from the Glasgow Jazz Festival. And together we're navigating through this year's festival highlights. We just heard pianist Zoe Rahman and Someday We'll All Be Free from her album with Courtney Pine called Song, and Courtney was on the bass clarinet. Zoe is playing at the City Halls on Saturday the 27th, and we mentioned the Jazz Lineup stage from 2 till 7 with Vane, James Taylor Quartet, Rachel Cohen, Zoe Rahman with special guest Laura McDonald, and Trio HSK. And they're at the Rio Jazz Club. And Kevin Legendre will be presenting that, so check out the link on the Jazz Lineup page for more information on that. We touched briefly on the big bands because you've got the Scottish National Jazz Orchestra playing at the festival, Keith, but there's also some youth bands, aren't there?
Yes, there's a big band day in the Ramshorn. It's something that the festival's always been involved in. There's been a school's big band competition over the years. The music education side of things is something that we really try and assist and embrace and get involved in community events all the time, where the festival starts with the final of the Young Scottish Jazz Musician competition, and through to the final this year we have a saxophonist, a trumpeter, guitarist and two pianists.
It's always a good competition, full of high quality young musicians. And not only is there this education side, and I know the Strathclyde Youth Jazz Orchestra are also playing, you know, everybody should get up there and check it out. And
they'd all be most welcome. We look forward to welcoming more guests to Glasgow.
Well, thank you so much, Keith Bruce. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Many thanks.
And this year's Glasgow International Jazz Festival runs from June the 24th to the 28th at venues across the city. And for more information on the festival and the Jazz Lineup stage, check out the link on the Jazz Lineup page via the Radio 3 website. Well, we've almost reached the end of our jazz road trip. On next week's Jazz Lineup, I'll take you slightly further afield with another chance to hear our Scandinavian Jazz Special, with session music from saxophonist Marius Nassett and tuba player Daniel Herskedal. And plenty more jazz on Radio 3 with Jeffrey Smith's Jazz Tonight at midnight, and on Monday night at 11, Jez Nelson. To end, something new from one of the UK's standout musicians, guitarist Phil Robson. His new album features his guitar organ trio with Ross Stanley, who may be familiar to many as the organist in the Velocity Trio. Here, the trio is completed with the swinging pulse of American expat drummer Gene Calderazzo. Robson's compositions and playing shines with intensity and energy, and the album is called The Cutoff Point and is out on the Whirlwind Recordings label. Till next time, from me, Julian Joseph, bye-bye. Thank you.
Was Thief by Phil Robson, ending this week's jazz lineup. The programme was produced in Glasgow by Sushil K. Dade and presented by Julian Joseph. For more information on Jazz Lineup, just go to the programme page via the Radio 3 website. And Jazz Lineup will be back next Saturday at 6 p.m.